What's so great about? What's so great about?
Great question and gets great answers. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
I am very well, Terry, very well. And how are you?
Yeah, I too am well.
Good to hear it and good to see you.
Yeah, you too, buddy. It's been
too long.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I'm lifting my cup of tea to tell you that tonight is a tea vibe for me. Oh,
you know what?
Tonight... Coke Zero one on me. Pour it into a glass. Hey, stop him! It's no good now.
I'm bourboning it up.
Okay, I didn't see the bottom of the glass. You done me. What can I say, folks? You done me.
Oh, and it's a lovely maker's mark. I got it before the fucking fat cat hiked up the alcohol price.
Yeah, what's happening with that? Like, I'm not a mad, like...
It's fucking nanny state we're living in. Coming in hot in 2022.
I'm seeing, like, a slab of cans for, like, 46
quid. A slab of piss as well. Like, I looked at it, it was, like, the fucking Canadian cans. 24 cans for, like, 40 quid. I'm like, fuck off. 24 cans for 24, mate.
Is that what it was?
Like, you would get 24 cans for 30 or something, you know. Like,
okay,
you shouldn't be paying over 150 a can for that crap. Or, like, Dutch Gold isn't, like, now...
Extortionate.
Yeah. So, this...
That's ridiculous. Of all the times, for people to be like, now let's jack up the price.
It's like, oh, we don't want people drinking. Like, fuck you. Like,
haven't had enough.
Yeah, speaking of, look, I'm just going to tear this Band-Aid off.
Do it, Terry.
We didn't record last week. I wasn't feeling well. You might just say, I'm a member of the nation, Omicron Persei 8.
We are the nation.
I got COVID, all right? I got COVID.
How have you been, Terry? Come on, how have you been?
I've been better. I think I'm out of the worst of it now.
Okay.
That's good. But I was dodging bullets for almost 2 years. And I had a friend that was a close contact, that I was a close contact of, that had a positive antigen test. And then, wouldn't you know... I was positive as well. My wife and daughter, thankfully, were negative. But
oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, something that I've wondered when someone gets COVID. Do you have an initial rush of like, oh my God? And then you're like, oh, of course, it's fine.
But it does go through your head. Like, because there was a couple of nights where I was feeling shite. And I'm like my chest was real heavy. And like I was like, yeah. Oh. I was like, I should be fine, but like you're also like, I don't want to have to go into, like, I've heard stories of like friends, like their friends who like who have been like vaxxed and boosted, and they still had to go to hospital, and like they're younger and probably fitter than me, and I'm like, you know, all that shit going through your head. It turned out like,
because it's something that we like talk about like every day.
Yeah.
So I wondered like, how does it feel when you're like finally like. Like, oh.
Like, I mean, it just sucks because you can't do anything as well. Yeah. Like, all my January cinema plans have been put on hold,
oh,
you know.
Oh, dear.
Licorice Pizza, Macbeth.
Sorry?
These are the movies I wanted to go see.
Oh, right. I thought you were saying I can't have Licorice Pizza anymore. Like,
well, I can't see it. I can't go and see it yet for another, I think, 3 days.
Motherfuckers.
Yeah, you know, but...
Torrent it, Terry.
I can't torrent it because it's not online yet. It's a theatre-only movie. It's my man, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Ah, PTA.
You know it, PTA, man. It's his latest one.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know.
Okay.
I don't know what, though. nobody talked. Oh, I hadn't heard this. I thought I'd actually give myself food poisoning. It really did a number on my tummy. We were texting last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in bits, like lying down. Wasn't it like a head cold or a chesty thing? It was like wave after wave of nausea, like feel like I'm going to get sick. Ugh. That kind of no energy with that. Like,
that's not good.
That was bad. So I spent the day in bed. I watched the two South Park COVID movies, which was, you know,
the brand new ones or the pandemic. Yeah. And oh, really?
The where new are ones. They? You get them. You get them online.
Yeah, specifically though, where did you get them?
I'll send you a link. You could torrent them. You just type them in. I think it's like
post. I didn't know they were out yet.
Yeah, two of them are out. They do two a year. I looked it up. They're doing two a year of the movies.
As well as the series?
I think so. I think the pandemic special and the vaccination special were part of the series. And then these two, they do follow on directly from the pandemic special.
Right.
Like they keep, I was like, I kind of wish I'd watched the pandemic and vaccination specials because they reference a lot of stuff and that. I was like, it's so long since I watched it. Like, what was this?
Yeah.
Were they hoarding?
It's on Amazon now. Or, well, no, it's not actually. It says it is. Then you click on it. It's like, this one isn't available yet.
Oh, yeah. That they'll do that. That'll come soon. Like, so I think it's on Now TV. That's how I watched the specials. But I got the other ones online. Nice. To watch. But like,
I've been watching loads of South Park myself the last week or two. Like, it's been
these two are like, I'm almost like more impressed by the storytelling than the jokes, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know, I'm more like, oh, that's really interesting what they did with that character, as opposed to like,
it's funny you say that, because I was only recently, I was rewatching that whole series with Skank Hunt and, you know, all that sort
of. Is that
of,
the troll series?
The troll. Yeah. And I didn't really think before of how well done that whole season is. Like, it's really cinematic, and like you said, like what the depth they go into and the little side characters and all this sort of stuff, it was like really, really well done. And then like the season after, when Eric and Heidi starts becoming, he's mad, like manipulative to Heidi and wants to break up, and then treats her mean, and then she gets like, she starts to look like Eric and all the, like, it was really it was better than I remember it, you know?
Yeah, like, it's, I guess at the time, like, I was watching it, and you're just like, because you're watching it week to week,
yeah,
you're not really.
It was more at the start of that sort of,
it seems like a blur, doesn't it? Like,
yeah.
But look, I'm feeling better anyway now.
How the bloody hell was your break pre COVID, Terry?
It's good. It was stressful. We talked about it before. Christmas, you know, it's like rush, get you in, get you out. I mean, got all the shopping and all that done, and then by the time Christmas Eve rolled around, that was nice.
Yeah.
And then Christmas Day, we were kind of down to my mom's for breakfast, but like, kind of like they had met people and they were like, oh, it was really busy where they met people. And I was like, why did you go out on the busiest night of the year? Like, as in, like, the way the text was sent, I was like fucking bulling, being like, I can't fuck up. Oh, I'm gonna have to wear a mask down tomorrow because we're going to see Faye's family who've traveled over from Belgium who aren't seeing anybody. And like, the risk of catch, because everybody's like, every other person, you know, has it.
Yeah,
turns out none of them had it. I got it in the end. But yeah, it was fine. Yeah. Like, that was, look, we're talking about next year and be like, I don't know, there's got to be a better way. Like, the way you were talking about doing it, where it was like, you actually have the 25th to yourself, sounds like a really good idea. Like,
I tell you, it's been great. And it was the same again, sort of this year, where it was just, we just had time to sort of play with Joni's toys all day. You know what I mean? And not having to sort of go, like, it's, you know, it's tough to sort of get the first one. You know what I mean? Like, where you're like, we're going to do that this year. And then you get a few sort of like, huh? But then once you just power through that, then the rest of it's yours.
We're hoping, because, like, all gone well, we'll be in the new house in the new county next Christmas.
Hello.
So that can be our, like, well, we'll see you the 26th or the 27th. We just want to get our first Christmas in our place under our belt. And then there'll be no looking back.
The house that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
Really?
But, you know, I watched a shit. You know what? I didn't watch a lot of stuff up until, I think, Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And like that, like I didn't, you know, normally I'd be watching loads in the lead up to Christmas.
Yeah, the lead up. I felt the same. We watched nothing.
It was like Christmas Day. It was like, I got to like, I think Christmas Day night we watched American Utopia, my Dave Byrne. That was great. And then I don't know what was on, because we were out in the house in Mead, like where Faye's sister had rented an Airbnb, which was lovely. It was like, once I got out there, it was kind of like, I can kick back and relax and have a drink. And now we had a rough night because Bonnie was staying in the room with us, and she normally stays in her own room. So every time she woke up, she was like, well, I'm not going back to sleep in my bed. What are you talking about? Yeah. I'll just go stay with you guys. So like Christmas night and Stephen's night, I was like on the small couch out in the living room at some point, because it was like, it's just not worth it, the three of us being in the bed. Should go to sleep if I'm not there with, like,
I know.
I watched Rocket Man. That was on over Christmas.
Oh yeah, is any good?
Really good. Like
your man Taron Egerton,
he's fucking great in it, man. It would be not nearly as good if it was of him, because he does all the singing and he does the dancing and.
Oh, I heard his rendition of "I'm Still Standing" in Sing, I believe it is.
Okay.
Got on the roll. Don't know if you.
Yeah,
know
I did know that. But
did you?
Yes, I did. But like him doing "Saturday Night's Alright" they do all the hits. They do "Honky Cat," which I did not think they were going to do, which is one of my personal faves.
I do love "Honky Cat."
So like, it was a pleasant surprise to see him doing. They kind of play around with the like. He's doing "Honky Cat." Maybe it seems like it's supposed to be. I don't know if you know his life story that well.
Not too well.
There's like he when he changed his business partner, and like he's having an affair with his business manager or whatever, and it's like when he starts dressing extravagantly and stuff, they do "Honky Cat," and I was like, yeah, but like "Honky Cat" was 72. This is just me in my head. I'm like, he did that song in 72.
Before he was all glam.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they're kind of
scarves.
Yeah, but there's a great bit in it. I think it's when he's doing like the variety performance for the Queen, and like he really shows, like, portrays anyway what they want you to see is that like he's this tortured guy because he's doing all coke and drink and stuff, and he's like him in the mirror, and he kind of pulls this like big cheesy grin, and then like lets it fall, and he's like, no, that's not it. And then like he does another one, and it's kind of slightly bigger, and it's like, no. And then like he gets it right the third time, and then he's like out ready to go on stage, and you're like, oh, like it is all like at this point in his career, and I guess it seems to be all a like front of like Elton, the fun flamboyant guy,
right?
But I was when I'd I was like watching it there, that. Like, are you sure? Like honestly. It's a musical, and they do.
It's Elton John songs.
That's the thing. Like it's a jukebox musical. Like I will say, like there's parts of it that don't really work in terms of like his home life when he was a kid. Like don't really work, but like the stuff he's doing, like the musical numbers themselves are like music videos at times, and the stuff they do in it, like they take chances. It's interesting.
That's all you can ask. It's
interesting at least. So that was good.
And I'd say he sings a hell of a lot better than Elton John sings now. Did you hear that Ed Sheeran one with him? And like, he sounds like this is what I was thinking when the song came on. I don't know if you've heard it at all. Like,
no.
You know that one? But like, Ed Sheeran sings his bit fine. And then Elton John comes in, but it's like live Elton John's voice. You know what I mean? That you know, that sort of like where he's not saying words. And I'm like, and I was kind of laughing like when it came on. I was like, I don't want to be laughing at him.
Faye, but I am. Faye, I remember one of the nights we were like, this is ages ago, we were like playing the YouTube game, you know, you put on a song, and she was like looking for something. She was like, typed in like Coco Heart, and I was like, what song are you looking for? She's like, you know that song Coco Heart? And I was like, no. And it's like "Sacrifice" by Elton John. It's like cold, cold heart. It's like coke. And I was like, it does sound like he's saying cocoa heart, but didn't burn you.
Yeah,
you know, that, like, there is that.
There's
like
a viral video with like fake subtitles put under him when he was singing live last year. It's so funny, like, because what's he saying? Like,
yeah. So like, I can understand, like, definitely right. Like, it sounds like sometimes it sounds like he is like a. a puppet, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Bow, bow.
Rat, 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 rat.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the alien from Mars Attacks.
Rat, 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 rat.
Rat, rat,
rat. Rat, rat,
rat. Don't run. We are your friends.
Rat, 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 roo.
I tell you, I went to the movies, Terry. Living vicariously through you.
Let me guess. You went to see Sing 2. Okay.
Last week. Uh-huh.
Give me the animation company.
Oh, I don't know it. It wasn't animation, though. It was a kid's movie. Wasn't animation.
Then, I don't know. Okay. What was it?
Clifford the Big Red Dog.
I should have known.
Let me tell you something, Terry.
Jack Whitehall, is it?
Yeah.
Good for him. Bad for him.
You know what? Didn't bother me at all. He actually did a really good job. This movie, Terry,
it was brilliant. Really?
And I wasn't looking forward to going at all. I was like, fuck's sake, it's only Clifford the Big Red Dog. But yeah, it was great.
You would have been better off going to see Clifford the Martin Short movie.
Oh, another great one. I said it was his bestest looking wig. I believe there's a difference.
Yes, Andy. Oh, I can't believe you know that movie.
You know it, pal.
Grodin as well.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, that is great as well. Yeah. But yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by the Big Red Dog version.
Who else?
You would know loads of them. I just can't think of their names. There's loads of adult actors in it. You would, if you saw the little cast.
Who's the lady? There has to be a lady, right?
Well, the kid is the kid from Christmas Chronicles, the girl.
The true believer.
Yes, the same.
Let me see.
But yeah, it was
John Cleese, isn't it?
Joni was crying during it as well.
Oh, Buster Bluth, Tony Hale.
There you go.
David Alan Grier, you might know.
And he was great in it. Keenan Thompson was in it.
Was he? Yay. Yeah. All right. Good for him.
So it was that kind of movie. It was funny,
Your one from Men in Black is in it, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Siobhan Fallon Hogan.
Your man.
Sugarwater. His wife.
Your one. Oh. Of course.
D'Onofrio. Sugar.
But there was a bit in it where it was like, that fucking guy. I couldn't believe when I had Tony on and he was like, oh, D'Onofrio.
Unbelievable performance, man. Nobody else could have done that. Or I got back.
I can't stand it.
Deadly. When we do Men in Black one of the days, you'll have a new appreciation for it.
I like Men in Black, of course, but
perfect movie.
I don't know. I got a haircut, by the way, Terry.
What?
I got a haircut.
Oh yeah,
it's shaved.
I got mine cut too. I don't know if you can notice.
I did notice, Terry.
The plan is I'm going to grow it out. Gel is off the table, so I'm just growing it out, and I'm going to train it sans gel.
Ooh.
I sent you that picture of Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
That's the style I'm going to go for.
Brilliant.
Maybe I'll stick with the belly as well.
Brilliant, Terry. I have to say, I've been enjoying being part of your little motivational group thing. Well, not yours, but, part of it.
Yeah.
On WhatsApp. It's been good. It's been getting me out to... Oh, I'll tell you what. I did a run today, and it was... When did it become so hard? Like, I was only saying to Carrie,
it's been hard, man.
I keep pointing to, there was one run that I ran, a 12K, if you remember.
Oh, yes.
A couple of years ago. Never come close to it before or since. Don't know what was going on that day. But I'm like, I went on a 5K run today just around the track. I stopped about 10 times.
The trick is,
it's that first stop. That's the killer.
If you can push that as long as you can.
Yes.
Like, I used to always be like, if I could make it, two and a half to three, or, I used to go by songs. So, if I can make it, five songs before I need to stop, then I'm doing okay.
Then you're flying.
Yeah, but that was when I was, that was back during April, May, when I was relatively
actually fit. It was so hard. And then I kept breaking mental agreements with myself.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, when I get to that lamppost up there, I'll take another rest. And then I'd always take a rest before I get to it. I'm like, oh, fuck it. And then I'm like, you fucking loser. Even though I'm out running a 5K, like, yeah. You know, I should
you're
be
doing something good. Like,
yeah, exactly.
When I'm allowed out of the house again, I will be tentative.
Doing it.
Yeah, like, look, I have...
Fucking I'm, so hard now.
Like, I was saying it to Faye, like, I had a Christmas weight that I was like, yeah. This is where I want to be come the end of the Christmas. You know, like, this is my overweight goal. You know, yeah. This is as far overweight as I want to be after Christmas. And I weighed myself Christmas Eve morning. I was like, well, I'm already over that already. So, fuck this. Like,
give me the donuts.
Yeah, exactly. Now, look, I'm back down to that weight. I tell you, probably a lot of it has to do with my tummy problems that I was having because I was...
Must be the non-stop sitting and snacking. Well, sir.
So, in fact, so I just, if I can keep, I haven't done any exercise, but I lost over 2 kilos or something this week.
Yeah, that was
If I can keep
two
that
kilos,
going.
Like,
I know,
it's
yeah.
only,
but
it's
all
only
like
got...
drink weight or whatever's going after coming
hey,
off.
Weight's
you,
weight.
Yeah, I know.
Because I used to think like, oh, if you lose a pound or 2 pounds, I used to think in my head, that's not a lot of weight. But
it
2 pounds is.
Is
a bag of sugar. Like, that's like... Right?
Is that right?
I mean, loosely, roughly.
I mean, yeah, if you hit me in the chest with a bag of sugar, I'm going to feel it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? I got into a confrontation with a disabled man over the holidays.
Hello.
Would you like to hear about
it? Yes, please.
Okay.
Would I ever?
I went to the shop. Just mm-hmm. the centre with Joni, and I was like,
oh,
I was like,
yeah, Joni's there.
Yeah, she's fucking there. So
get him, Dad.
And I hate get. I've gotten into a few confrontations with people, like with Joni being there, and I hate
it's hard,
it.
Isn't it? Like,
but like this guy, I was in the shop and I seen this guy like bigger than me, like big bald, like whatever.
How was he disabled?
Well, this is the thing, Terry. He was looked. He looked. He was walking around anyway.
This is the regular Curb Your Enthusiasm episode already.
But he, like, I just made eye contact with him in the shop, and I had the thought in my head. I'm like, okay, buddy. Like, you know, yeah. Like this guy is just looking for trouble or something like that. And I had noticed when I parked, there was a Porsche, of course, parked outside of the parking line. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I had to squeeze in beside it. I was close to him, but there was room to get in and out. And anyway, so I was going back out to the car with Joni, and he's standing there, and I was just letting Joni in, and I was just like, oh, I'll just be out of your way in a sec, mate. And he's like, not to start at him, but would you not have more consideration or something like that? And I was like, well, actually, you were the one who was over the line, and this was the only space that was
over
free.
The line.
And he was like, especially someone who, and he like pointed to his thing, and like, so I had to like go up, look at his windshield, which was in the opposite direction. So I was going to the right. His car was parked to the left. So I'd never looked to the car to the
yeah,
left.
Yeah, of course not.
It was a disabled passenger
side of his yeah. car. Yeah.
And so then I was just like, well, I didn't see that. And then so he was going on. He's like, I'm done with you now. You know, one of these sort of weirdos. And he kept sort of going, and I literally was looking at him, and I just sort of nodded in Joni's direction. I was like, I'll be out of your way now in a sec.
Yeah.
As in, like, fucking cop on, will you? Yeah. Like, me kid's looking at this. And then he's like, I'm not your mate. And I was like, okay, fuck's sake.
Is he, like, a muscle-bound head? Or like
he was quite muscly. He was bigger than me, like, oh. You know what I mean? Like, he was, so he must have been huge.
Yeah.
But it was just a really, like, it was like... I can't remember if it was a day or two before Christmas or after Christmas.
You should,
like,
you should have said, do you know who you're talking to? This is the Gilla King.
This is the Gilla King.
This is the Gilla King of Arklow. You wanna get nuts? Let's get nuts.
But yeah, I was just a bit like, you know.
I'd say you're in a bad humour for the rest of the day.
I was thinking about it. You know what I mean? I was try and not let other people's energy infiltrate my own.
Glom onto you, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd say you couldn't shake it off for a little bit anyway.
Yeah. And it was so stereotypical, like a Porsche that was already parked over the line. Yeah. And this fucking mad confrontational dude drive. Anyway, on to better news, Terry. Some exciting news, actually.
Yeah.
Well, let's just say I'm podcasting for two.
There are two of us.
I mean, yes, it's me and you. But also, me and Kerry are having a baby.
Yeah. great news. Hey, we finally get to talk about it.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So, I mean, you already knew. But I did, to the people listening, yes, so we're very happy.
How
so.
Did it go telling everybody?
Great. It was, we said it to, we were deliberately waiting to tell my folks and Kerry's folks over Christmas. So we told my mum on Stephen's Day.
Tears.
Like, yeah, tears. And they were like, what? What? You know, that sort of stuff. And then, so that was great. And everyone was like really happy. And we were showing the scan pictures that we have and all this. And then when I went to my dad's, I got my dad like a little, like thing, a horseshoe cufflinks, because he owns or co-owns four horses.
Four?
Now.
You got to get in on this, Andy.
I know. So I got him these horseshoe cufflinks thing, and I rolled up a scan picture and put it in. Nice. And like the funny thing is like, because like, not to get too personal, but like, it, you know, we've been trying for about maybe 5 years. Mm-hmm. And my dad would always be like chatting to me, like, he's like, oh, you know, happening there. And I'd be like, no, still nothing, and all this sort of stuff. So like, we had talked about it quite a lot. So sure. I could tell it'd be quite like emotional for him. So we rolled up a picture of like one of the scans and put it in with the thing. And so when he opened up his present, and I was like, oh, open up that. And he was like, just like looked at the two of us, and then it was a big eruption, like, what? Like, look, show, you know, that
Brillo.
So it was a very good sort of reveal.
That sounds like a great Christmas.
It was lovely, to be honest. It was It was very nice. So the baby is due in June. We will find out next
week. June!
Everything's blue on a spring. Yes, we find out next month if it's a boy or a girl, so I'll report Brilliant. Back then. We will be finding out.
I think it's going to be a
boy. But we won't be telling anyone. I'm just kidding.
I hate that.
I'm thinking boy too. And if I'm honest, like, I feel like if they said boy now, I'd get the same feeling that they said when I found out Joni was a girl. Of like, huh? What?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it took me an extra, like, oh, okay, oh. You know, whereas now at least I know girls. A boy would be a whole, may as well be getting an alien kid.
Oh, boys. You know, boys. We're boys.
But anyway, now that all that's out the way, Terry, do you want to talk about his house? Do you have any more to talk about?
Not really. Like, I've watched a lot of stuff. Too much stuff. Oh. two big blockbusters I'll talk about, because I got to go to the cinema before I got COVID.
Okay, yeah.
Got to go see Spider-Man.
Is it good?
It's fun. It's a lot of fun, Andy. I will say
it's not what I asked.
It's definitely the best one they've done in Phase 4 so far. Definitely the best one. They do a few bit of like mental gymnastics to get characters to do things, but I will tell you, have you seen the trailer? Or, you know,
I get the idea.
Doctor Ock from Spider-Man 2. My man Willem Dafoe is back. He fucking kills it. He's the best thing in the movie. Like, he's fucking deadly. Like, unbelievable. They kind of polish him up a little bit.
You're so happy.
Oh, I'm so happy. Like, and like, there's a bit, you know, I went to see it with a friend of the podcast, Thomas Coffey, and like, he didn't know
DC.
Anything.
Yeah.
And there's a bit where he says the line where he's like, I can help. I'm somewhat of a scientist myself. And like, Coffey started like hitting me. He's like, he said the line. I was like, yeah. There's a lot of that, you know, that feeling of like, yeah, punching.
It does sound fun.
It is fun. It's a lot of fun. But like, it's a bit sweaty as well, you know, the way.
What do you mean?
As in like, in order to maneuver these chess pieces where they need them to be, you're like, oh, okay, I guess.
Is that a term? Sweaty?
Oh, yeah. Sweaty. Big time sweat.
Like, you have to do too much work.
You're like, okay. Yeah, it's like, am I supposed to believe this? You know, you're like, I see what you're saying to me, and yes, it is technically plausible, but also, you're asking a lot of me here. Like, you know, that kind of feeling. Like,
bit of a long run time.
Oh, yeah, it's long. It's what,
two and a half.
Yeah, you could definitely trim, you know, like, as with most Marvel movies these days, you could definitely trim. I saw another 2.5 hour blockbuster, The Matrix Resurrections. Now, I didn't get to see this in cinema, but it's on HBO Max, so you can get it online, folks.
I heard it was shy. Is it shy?
No, it's really good. I loved it. Really? Like, I thought it was great. But you might as well be called the Metatrix.
Oh, hello. Happy with that. Yeah,
there's literally a scene.
He designed a video game and there's actual scenes from the movie.
The video game is the movie. Yeah. You know, and he's done like a trilogy of video games called The Matrix, whatever. You know, there's a line in it where his boss in the video game company is like, our parent company, Warner Brothers, want us to make another video game about The Matrix, and they say they're going to do it with us or without us. And you're like, oh, this is her, Lana Wachowski, just being like, I guess it's better that I do it than fucking some other schmuck doing it. But why didn't
the two of them do it?
I think Lily is kind of like, not that they've fallen out, but like they didn't work together on, they did a TV series for Netflix called Sensei. And they both worked on the first season, and then Lily didn't work on the second season, and Lana... It was just Lana Wachowski did. I think Lily is off doing something else. She's doing another TV show or something. So it was just the one of them. But it's definitely like, if you were saying I love the first Matrix and I want more of the first Matrix, it's not going to give you what you want. It's almost like fuck you. Like
there's no guns in it, I hear.
Keanu does not fire one gun in it. There is a lot of guns in it, but It seems like she is uninterested in the action scenes because the action looks really different, looks really weird. And then I was like, oh, that's kind of the point, that she's really uninterested in making an action movie. It's kind of more about romance than anything else, like, you know.
Can I ask, do you think, would it be fair to say that Lana has made this movie more like about her, you know what I mean?
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of her in it. Apparently, she was not going to do it, and then her parents died.
Right.
And when she was grieving, she kind of went back to the characters of Trinity and Neo, and she was found so much solace and kind of, she was like writing about their love. Kind of brought her joy. There's so many heady ideas in it. And like at one point they're like, oh, this new Matrix runs on, it's basically, new Matrix is kind of like the internet in that like you can't ever turn it off. There's always going to be people here that keep it running with their fucking,
This is it, isn't it?
Like, with their horrible... Like, as in, the people that are in the Matrix now... apparently, if you don't want to be in there, you can just leave. Since the third film. If you don't want to... But there's so many people that just are like, no, I want to stay in here. And, like, they feed the machine. Like Twitter, like the internet, whatever. Like Reddit, you know, that kind of thing. Mm. There's loads of that. And I think a lot of people that... were gearing up for it to be a new... I think they might have forgotten what the second and third Matrixes were like.
Yeah.
Because they kind of, like, upend the first... The first one was like a kick-ass action movie with heady themes in it. But the second and third one, like, deconstruct that first movie quite a bit.
Right.
So the fourth one was never going to be, like... Hey, we're, you know, it's like the first one again.
The most bombastic one yet.
It's like, no, it's not. But I will say, like, there's the guy they cast as Morpheus, like the new, different version of Morpheus.
Yeah.
He's fucking deadly. Like, he's doing like a Morpheus speech at one point, and he's like, blah, blah, blah. Too much. Yeah, I know. Like, you know, he's like undercutting all the shit from the first movie that, like, you think that was the cool shit. And it was the cool shit in 99, but now it's like, we've done this already. We don't want to do this again. Like,
yeah, this is almost like the translation of what's cool now compared to what was cool then.
So, like, I would say, I it's not for everybody, but I really liked it. Like, I thought it was interesting. Like I say, nothing worse than a movie that is uninteresting.
Well, that's it. Well, on that bombshell, Terry, that's a terrific segue into the movie that we're here to talk about.
Quite an interesting movie.
His House.
Whose
Netflix
house?
Original. His House, Terry.
Mm.
Now, there isn't a huge amount of buff.
Like with these with these Netflix movies, they're...
Yeah, they're cutting us off at the buffs here. So it was... It's on Netflix. It was released in 2020. It's a horror slash thriller.
Slash directed by, political, I would say.
Yes. Directed by Remy Weeks. From a story by Felicity Evans and Toby Venables. No relation. It stars... Wunmi Musaku and Soapy Dorisu and Matt Smith. Sorry, I'm just reading.
I had to check, like, Matt Smith. I was like, is that Doctor Who?
Yeah, that's where I know him from.
Yeah, like, he's, you know,
he's a bit of an odd face.
He is the... I mean, now I think the other two are gonna go on. Like, I mean, your man Soapy is the lead of Gangs of London. That's where I knew him from.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, like,
he was brilliant as well.
He's fucking, and he's class in Gangs of London as well. And Wunmi Musaku is in, she's in fucking loads, but the Loki Brilliant. Was the thing you would know her from.
She was seeing that?
She was Hunter B-15, if you remember the
head honcho security?
Yeah, the black lady that was the head honcho security woman. Do you remember?
I do, I didn't. She was fucking good.
And she's brilliant. She's so good in this, and like she's so... like, because I was watching interviews with her after seeing her in Loki. You know, she's so serious and stuff in Loki.
Yeah.
She's so, like, bubbly and nice in real life. Like, it's such pleasure to hear her in interviews and stuff.
Yeah. I can't even imagine her being that sort of character based on what I've seen her in. But, yeah, not much on the buff at all. I'll just give you a bit of backstory about the production. Well, it had its world premiere at the Sundance Film Festival in 2020.
That's where Netflix get all their stuff these days.
It is, isn't it? It was developed by Starchild Pictures. In August 2017, it was announced that Remy Weeks... Do you know who Remy Weeks is?
Lemmy Winks?
Remy Weeks?
Let me see.
He doesn't have a Wikipedia page, so that's...
No, I've never heard of this guy. His house seems to be his first feature.
Oh. The Weinstein Company filed a lawsuit against Starchild Pictures, claiming they had backed out of an unsigned distribution agreement. I don't know whether they won that. It was announced that Wunmi Musaku, Soapy Dorisu had joined the cast of the film, with the lawsuit not going forward and the Weinstein Company no longer attached. It's probably the best thing that's happened to this movie.
Yeah, I mean, the Weinstein Company now is, like, I don't know, they're not even doing anything. They're still a company, I guess, but like...
Change the name.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I mean, 100% change the name. I mean, because you kind of feel like, you know, bad for the other people who worked. I'm sure it was a big company that had loads of
employees.
Imagine
going to, like, your next, like, job interview or whatever. It's like, oh, so you have,
get out.
6 years with the Weinsteins.
Change the name, first of all. And then, anyway... But that's all I've got, Terry. I don't have a huge amount of buff. There's not much to... Let me just check IMDb.
Now, let's just get into it. Fuck it.
Let me just check IMDb
Unbelievable.
While researching the screenplay, Remy Weeks was struck by... Nah, forget it. It's terrible. All right, let's get into it.
Yeah.
Thoughts, Terry?
I fucking love this movie, man. It's pretty fucking deadly. Like,
This is
what No One Gets Out Alive should have been. Okay?
Yeah. Like, I'd agree.
They're both haunted house movies or whatever, but they're both have a political tint. But this shit hits fucking way harder.
And I'd say this was shot for maybe a bit more money. But they have those, like, CGI stuff. They had those, like, you know, the scenes in Africa and all that sort of stuff. I'd imagine it costs a little bit more.
Maybe, but
it's they're very comparable. Sure.
Like, they're definitely comparable. Like,
I agree with you.
The idea, the filmmaking is streets ahead, and the acting, and like
that's it. The acting really is
Whereas in No One Gets Out Alive, it's like, oh, an immigrant coming from Mexico and, you know, the American dream is crushing or whatever. Okay, good idea.
But it's actually very similar, isn't it? in
poor,
teams.
Poor execution, right?
It was, yes.
This one here, immediately where it's like, one of the first scenes is Ball, I believe is his name.
Yes.
And who is, the what's the wife's name? What's Rumi's name? She is Riau, right?
Yes.
So they are brought before, they're in, again, direct provision, I guess, you know, they call it a detention center there because they're asylum seekers. And they're brought before this fucking fucking council or whatever, you know.
Yeah, like a parole board.
Yeah, and, you know, they say, oh, we're giving you a house, but, like, here's the condition. You're on bail, they say. And it's like, here's your conditions. It's, you know, can't get a job. You live off 74 quid a week, no friends, no what, all this fuck, all these restrictions.
Take, like, this money and stay in your house.
Yeah, until you can prove whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't know what this supposed to be proven, but, like, like, immediately from that scene, I was like, fuck me. Like, I'm like, this is really good, but I hate this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I know what you mean.
Like, immediately, I'm feeling emotion.
Immediately, you're rooting for them from the start as well, which 100%,
and, like, their performances are so, they're so nuanced as it goes on, but at the start they're so earnest.
Yeah,
you can't, like, they're so happy when they're told they're getting a house, and, like, they can't stop smiling and, you know, giggling. And then
he had great reactions as well, especially when they actually go into the house and he gives out this little, like, like, it's like a laugh, but then it turns into a cry or a little bit of a sob, or it's something where you just can't believe that this whole house is theirs, even though it's like a shithole.
You know?
But, like, and, like, they can't believe
you're
it.
You're in a council estate, like, everything is fucking dumped in your front garden. Like,
I tell you, that was almost the worst bit for me.
It was a lot of hard watching.
I'd hate to live. I would hate to. It's the shit outside.
Yeah. That's never mind me. The haunted house. Like,
everyone just walking past your window and booting shit at your door and fucking, like, just been super threatening, and you're throwing all their shit on you, and no one's friendly. Those were my first notes. So everyone's a prick then.
Yeah,
like, just everywhere they go, they're just met by, like, I'm like, oh, fucking hell.
Aggression, like, derision, you know, like, and, like, what I found quite interesting, say the Matt Smith character.
Yeah.
Right, so he's working for this government agency and he's their supervisor or whatever, parole officer, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. Like,
so he checks them in, he's going to the fucking place, a shithole.
Yeah.
And he tells, drew them a map and kind of did all, but the sheer ambivalence that, like, he meets their questions with. Like, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
Like, and it, you know, as the movie goes on, like, he's not the bad guy, because, like, he's kind of like, he feels like he's ended up in this job. He used to work in a bank.
Yeah.
Like, and he's ended up in this job after his job was taken and was exported to.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, like, where, but, like, I know from other companies that, like, we've dealt with, they basically moved their headquarters to Poland. And that was the kind of thing he was, it seemed to be getting at, that it was like, they took our office jobs and moved them somewhere.
Yeah.
Else, like, that the impression, and it's good acting, because you're kind of like, oh, well, he doesn't have to explicitly say it and be racist, but, you know, there's some kind of, like, resentment there.
Yeah.
So he's just in this job that he just doesn't fucking give a shit about. Like,
he seemed to be the only other character who had kind of a heart.
But at the same time, he's also like, I don't need this shit. Like, you know, like, don't bother me. You know, like, can you just make it easy for me, please?
What did you think of the scares, when the scares started happening?
Okay, so first of all, I want to talk with your man, Ball, and his acting.
Yeah.
When he's like, I know, like, I work in a bank. And then he says, worked. Let's have a little chuckle. Yeah. It's like, worked in a bank. Like, because, you know, he doesn't anymore. And you kind of start off with, I think it starts off with him. His is the first kind of scares you get, because they have, like, a nice little night where they sit on a rug and they have dinner and they listen to a bit of music.
Yeah.
And then, like, he is, like, just tidying up, and you start hearing the like humming, I think it is, or something like that, like to start.
Yeah.
And when somebody threw something at their window,
yeah,
normally that kind of cheap, I don't even think it's cheap because you see the thing get thrown at the window.
Yeah.
It's not just a bang off screen. Yeah, but it did make me fucking jump because I was like, what is that sound? And it's just like this, you just see a brick like bounce off the window and it's like, oh, fuck's sake. And then when the supernatural stuff starts happening, you know what we were talking about? Again, no one gets out alive, where it's like, they look up and somebody's there. Yeah. They were so much more unsettling in this movie.
Yeah.
They were so much more visceral. There was a couple of times where I was like, oh, fuck off. Like,
there was one where he was like crouched down and he's looking into the wall.
Yeah.
And then it just cuts behind him. There's this like guy, like, and it's like, it's a black guy, like his face is all like distorted and his eyes are big and it's like, and I was like, normally I agree, that sort of shit, I'm like, please, but this one I was like, oh shit,
it's very visceral, like, and it's down to the production design, it's down to the music, there's no like ding, you know, like it's just there and you're like, even
that's when that's scarier when it's just there, don't give me a ta-da, like, just, you know, it's enough,
like when he goes into the there's a bit, so like it starts pretty early, about 20 minutes into the movie it starts, that, like,
and also as well, 90 minutes, sorry to interrupt, 90 minutes
they don't waste your time with this, because
exactly,
and I wouldn't have been mad like there's other bits that they could have fleshed out.
Mm-hmm.
But they kept it economical, where it's like, we don't have to show you that, and we don't really want to show you.
Yes, like, Terry. They never have to. Sometimes they should all take a page out of Remy Week's book, who doesn't have a Wikipedia page. Doesn't need one. Doesn't want the spotlight.
Sometimes they do have to, because that's the thesis of the film. The thesis of this film is guilt. Okay? Yes. There's a lot of guilt. And we haven't even got to that bit yet. But, like, it's kind of like the Babadook. The Babadook is, like, grief.
Yeah.
And this one is kind of like guilt. You know what I mean? Like,
it's true, yeah.
That's what the monster is.
In this.
And there was a bit, like, so, you know, Ball starts seeing stuff. And I think the second thing that he starts seeing is, like, the wallpaper.
Yeah, it just starts peeling off.
But it just, one strip just kind of fuck. And the sound of the wallpaper falling off the wall, I was like, like, uh-oh. Like, it sounded like
it was so deliberate.
So heavy. And like, so it doesn't sound like, you know, the wallpaper falls, it's like,
you wouldn't hear, you know, it. Yeah.
This is heavy. This is like a fucking thump. And then he's looking at this hole and he's pulling out, God knows, it looked like a fucking tree or something. He was pulling.
That's the thing. I was like, we were watching it, like, oh, so this is a dream then. Like, this must be a dream, but like it wasn't.
And then it's the wall is just back to normal.
Yeah.
And when it starts happening to Rui Misaka's character,
yeah,
like, I love her reaction to it, where she's like, "Oh, this is a witch. We've brought this," and the man is in denial. He's trying to fit in. Like, he's gone out. He went and got a haircut. He goes to the church and they give him a box. And that was the other thing which I thought was quite good, where it was like, "You're one of them, aren't you? There's asylum seekers," and you're like, "Oh, here we go." Somebody who works in a church even is going to be shitty. So I'm like, no, he gave him a box of biscuits.
Yeah.
And he's in the pub and he's watching Stoke and it's there singing Peter Crouch songs and stuff. Yeah. Really nice. Like,
well, it was great to hear Crouchy.
Oh, we love him. We're pro Peter Crouch podcast. But like that kind of stuff, like, you can see him, why he wants to be part of the community, why he wants to belong. He doesn't really want to keep his identity. Whereas, like, Rumi Misaka is making dinner, you know, she wants them to sit on the floor and eat with their hands, you know, like they used to.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, let's eat at the table. Let's use a knife and a fork.
Yeah. Let's, I like that, where she's like, oh, I can just taste the metal.
Like, and like, yeah, probably, like, you know.
Yeah. I loved her throughout this whole movie.
She was great.
I love, And I loved, and this is the exact antithesis of the usual sort of wife in these horror movies,
yeah.
Who's usually like
she's the one that unravels.
Not yeah, really. This
she's
one like, was like straight away. It's a witch. It's followed us here, and whenever there's a scare, like she's just like sitting there looking at it, like
yeah,
you know, like but she doesn't
brave.
Seem,
she's strong. And she doesn't back down.
There was a great line where she's like. She's like, you think I can be scared of ghosts after yeah. all I've endured? You know, yeah. I just thought like, yeah,
I've seen what men, I've seen what men can do. You think ghosts can scare me? And normally it's the other way around.
Yeah.
Normally it's like you, there was you think a man can scare me because I've seen what ghosts, I've seen yeah. in the other world. This is like, exactly. no, like, and like,
yeah.
your man.
They're not going to do anything worse.
Yeah. And like your man being like, well, he figures out, it's like, oh, you're not real. Like you can't actually.
Yeah,
touch me, but you might you're gonna try and drive me insane or whatever like that. But you can't
yeah.
actually touch me, and like she figures yeah. that out straight away. That's why she's not like, scared
instantly. I loved her whole reaction to it. There's a scene where she's just sitting there waiting for him to come home, whatever, and there's just eyes in the wall just looking at her, and she's just like looking back at them,
yeah,
and just sitting there waiting, like you know, like I'm not going anywhere.
And
I thought that was brilliant.
Like, so it kind of, I thought it was going in a kind of The Shining.
Like he was gonna go mad and
100% like because yeah. you have that scene where he's like, I want to move house.
Yeah.
You know, like he's seeing all the shit happening in the wall. Like all these people, like the guy has a night, like one of these ghosts. Like he starts seeing the little girl. First of all, they tell you at the start they had a little girl, a daughter
yeah.
who died, and like they seem to be grieving
way
that.
Over.
Yeah, yeah, they seem to be grieving that pretty hard. And then like he's seeing her around the house. Like her, normally like a little Mr. Marbles run through a house in a horror movie doesn't do anything for me. But this time around, again, I was like, oh no, like don't like that, like whatsoever.
Was Faye watching this with you by any chance?
No.
Okay.
She wouldn't. That's
curious.
Especially ghosts, horror movies, like ghosts and zombies are two that she finds.
They're out.
Yeah, like something like Don't Breathe.
Right,
is
like psychological a bit. Yeah.
Or like a bit of more akin to like a thriller of like, you know,
yeah.
a slasher or something like that. Like
Scream,
I mean,
or
yeah.
stuff like that should be.
Scream is great, but like yeah. something like even something like Gerald's Game, like she found,
oh, yeah.
she find a bit easier to sit through rather than, or like Oculus, like, she watched me, like she liked Oculus,
yeah.
like, you know.
Big Oculus fans,
yeah,
in this podcast.
But so like when he is kind of fed up with seeing, and like he's kind of like tearing the house apart, like you say,
yeah,
creating
mad.
These holes, and he goes to Matt Smith to ask for a new house. The acting by him in
when
this scene,
there,
oh my god,
he's just got this like shit eating grin on his face.
He's just constantly like, and
he's fine,
yeah, and he's like. That fucking Hank Scorpio grin.
Yeah.
Like,
I didn't even give you my coat.
That's it. But it's like, I'm losing my mind. And
yeah,
like,
he's like, please.
Yeah. He's like, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, your man's like, so which is it? Like, or whatever. Like, you know, is it the vermin
yeah.
or is it what, you know, they're kind of interrogating him because he's saying he wants to leave.
And
he's
they're
like,
all like not taking him seriously.
His house is bigger than my house. You
yeah.
know? Yeah. And it's like, yeah, but like, your house isn't fucking like, doesn't have electricity at one point, you
yeah,
know what
exactly.
I mean? Or like, there's fucking maggots everywhere. Like, that was the, that was the thing where it's like, you're making trouble for us and stuff like that. Like by,
yeah,
asking
this
for, you know, he's like, we'll live anywhere. But they hand him the glass of juice, and like, as he's getting more and more strange, like the fact that like he crushes the glass of juice
yeah.
in his hand, I was like, foof. And
no.
then. Like when he comes home, you and the guys show up. The wife is gone. Like she, because he got them to like they burnt all their clothes.
Yeah.
At this point, and like he has them dressing in like fucking Penny's gear to make
yeah.
them look English.
And then she rocks up with like
a sheet tied around her,
yeah.
and like she's
she's completely sells him down the river as well.
Yeah,
it's like
it's great.
It's
like
it's a ghost, it's a witch that's followed us here. He
yeah.
doesn't want you to know.
Yeah,
like whatever. Like just complete exactly what was happening. I mean, it's so satisfying to watch a horror when you see that. Where you're just like, why don't what? wouldn't you just say blah 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 blah, or you know, something like that, or why wouldn't you react this way?
Like, but like she does, and then they're like, okay, like we're gonna have to report this. Like you guys are mental. You know what I mean? Like so there's nothing. But then him like taking like all the like the levers off the windows because she tries to leave, and it's like he like undoes the fucking
that was a bit much.
The handles of the door so she can't get out. I was like, oh, okay. Like this is when I was like, oh, so he's gonna like try and murder her, and she's gonna have to kill him. Like,
yeah, the thing's gonna go into him. Yeah, like that.
It was very much. I was like, oh, it's gonna be like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. And
yeah,
to its credit, it doesn't do that. Like, she kind of escapes. Well, he does a like sit down with the fucking because there's a couple of good scenes, like where he sees the witch.
Yeah.
Essentially, like he's eating dinner by himself.
Great scene, by the way, where he's eating dinner and it zooms out and he's just at sea but still eating the dinner. Really, really good. That looked amazing.
Yeah. And really well done. And like,
yeah.
You kind of, he's seeing all the people that died on the boat that they.
Yeah,
like they escaped, and
throughout the whole movie, they keep hearing like thief,
yeah,
all this sort of stuff.
And I was like,
what is it? What did they steal? And we were thinking, like, did they steal like identification?
Yeah.
Is it someone else's like ID that they've stolen that should have been here? And I was like, like, and then as well, just to add before you continue, but even the scene where she finally leaves the house. This is before she went full badass.
And oh like, yeah, the kids,
super intimidating. And then she goes up to these three kids to look for Church Street, and like even that was so unsettling for me. I'm like, oh, she's about to get her head kicked in or something like that.
Or they're just gonna send her like
off somewhere and then get
something's gonna happen to her or whatever. Like
yeah,
and but like
I was like, oh, she, so fucking, she, oh, I'd hate that.
He's like purposely avoiding the white people.
Yeah,
and then she finds three black youths.
Exactly, and she's like, "Oh thinks, okay, yeah, I'll be okay."
She, and she goes over to them and starts speaking African, to them. You know, like you know, or whatever Sudanese. I think they're from Sudan, and they don't answer. And then it's like, "Oh, your mum, your auntie is here, or whatever." Like slagging each other,
yeah.
And literally, when she says, "Go back to," they tell her to go back to fucking Africa. And you're like, "Oh, come on, like."
And so, to be honest, even the before that, like you think, okay, one kid is kind of a bit,
he's all okay, right.
But then it's like this shit, like oh, one saying this way, the other one saying that way, the other one saying no, it's back that way. It's like yeah, actually, yeah, it's back that.
Anyway, they're messing with.
As soon
it,
as like, she turns around, they're gonna fucking clobber.
That's her, I thought there's gonna be a brick thrown or something like that.
It's like oh god, like even though like it's a movie about a haunted house, I think this was almost like the most unsettling thing for me. Where I'm just like, oh, just get out of there. But then I suppose in the third act shit starts really kicking off.
Well, like you know, they're kind of like I say, he's losing it. She at one point like is trying. Oh, because he lights a candle and he goes and talks to the witch. Essentially, he has like a vision, and she comes down and sees him. He's so scared after this talk with the witch that he's pissed himself.
Mm.
And while he's in this kind of like, it seems like a fugue state or something.
But now, was that after, or was that what was happening? You know what I mean?
Well, I think,
was that happening at the time? Is that why he was vacant?
That's what I mean. Yeah,
because like, he was talking.
He lit a candle and he was like, "Me and you are going to talk." He's actually at this point, he's actually confronting the witch because he'd been in denial for so long of it, and then he's like, "Right, I'm gonna." And your man is saying, "You know, you have to cut your flesh, and I'll give you back your daughter." Essentially, he's saying this, and while this is happening, what you see the whole scene play out, and then it kind of cuts to his wife, and she sees him there. Literally, previously he had like been very. I can't even remember what it was. Like he'd been bullish to the witch, and then something happens that like has him screaming.
Yeah,
while he's there talking to the witch. And you see he's pissed himself. So I took it that like he pissed himself because he was that frightened.
Yeah.
She gets the screwdriver, tries to put the handle back on the door. He doesn't attack her, but like he kind of accosts her. And then she like stabs him with the screwdriver. and gets out a window. And when she gets out the window, the transition from the a ground floor window in a council house to a school.
Remember she lived in Africa. In Africa. Yeah.
It's seamless. I was like, "What?"
It took me a few seconds.
I was like, "This place looks pretty good. It's all cleaned up." And I was like, "Oh wait, no, we're in a completely different place.
We're somewhere else now."
Yeah, and then she's kind of confused, and she goes, and she starts to ask about her daughter, and they're saying, "You didn't have a daughter."
Some great scenes there. Some great acting there.
And I was like, but it didn't really make sense. I was like, "Oh, is this like the witch?" You know, doing this, that, like, you didn't have...
That's what I assumed at the time.
Yeah, it's like, you didn't have a daughter. And I was like, right. And then you see a next bit where she's hiding in a cupboard. After a bit of a conversation.
Yeah.
She's hiding in a cupboard. And I assumed it was like, I was like, oh, your man's after following her here. Because the husband shows up. But then he's, like, all nice. And she gets out of a cupboard. And it's just the two of them in the room, and then it pulls back, and you see
everyone else is
dead. It's the school has been slaughtered,
yeah.
And it's actually showing their escape from Sudan,
yeah.
And how they, and this was the fucking, I was like, don't do this to me movie, where it was like they can't get on the bus. Him and his wife can't get on the bus, and somebody
there's people coming now.
Literally warlords coming, and like a load of people trying to get on the bus. They're not letting them. And he sees a couple with a child get let on, and there's a child beside him, and he picks up the child and it's like, she's a child, let us on, so that they let the couple and this child on. But the child's mother is outside the bus and she starts screaming, and the mother chasing after the bus.
He's essentially kidnapped this child. Yeah,
like, and
like the kid screaming, the mother screaming. He's grabbed this kid, and then that explains, because for ages in the movie, I was like, why has she been so like whatever with him? You know what I mean? Like, why is he so jovial and she's not? And then like, and then it puts it all into context of like, oh, this is what they've been through since then.
And like,
you know what I mean?
There are heroes. But she's complicit in it as well, even though she obviously didn't want it. You can see she's like throwing him looks and stuff, like, what the fuck are you after doing? But like, it completely flips it on its head, yet you're sympathetic still, because I was thinking about it, was like, if he left that child and the mother behind, they're probably dead.
They would have been dead.
Anyway, they would have been dead together. Now, the child ended up dying, and it's basically like, what would you do to survive?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that kind of way. And
really messed with you.
Oh, really fucking. Like, I was like, Jesus, bravo to this film for, like, you know, taking these chances. Like,
I'm cramming it into a nice little 90-minute package. Now, I will say, it was a bit of a... The only thing that I thought, that's a bit of a shame, was towards the end. So he's basically, he's agreeing to confront this thing, to give it what it wants. It wants
it wants his body, wants though.
To cut his flesh and for his blood to drip on the floor or whatever.
He kind of goes into the body.
Yeah, and so he says to her, like, you know, I have to do this. And she's kind of like, okay.
Peace out, like.
And then, so when he drops it, that was the only thing I thought. It was a shame about that demon guy who came up through the floor in the end.
I thought he looked pretty good.
It was kind of a bit too...
But it was just like, a bit too quick
Default White Walker version 5. It was that sort of one that you see. You know, that sort of skeletor-esque.
Kind of flabby belly on it, though. Like, the skin isn't... You know, it's too loose on the bones. I like that, but it very much was, I'm going into your arm, and then the wife comes in and cuts his throat.
Yeah,
and that's
the way it was even sticking his fingers in his arm and all.
Good, like, wasn't it?
I was like, ugh. But then at the start, I was like, oh, hold on, she just slit his throat. Like, it's just that easy. Is he not some sort of magic fucking thing? And I was like, oh, but that's obviously him in like human form or something like that.
Yeah, I guess.
And then that's the only way he can be killed that way. I just put that together myself just to accept it better.
Yeah, and but, I think the whole thing, I think that it kind of hinges on is like her letting go of the child.
Yeah.
That was the big thing.
Yeah.
You know, like,
because it's like, oh, he's done. Sort of his thing, and then here's the kid, but you know it's not real.
Yeah, and then she's like, let's go.
What is this?
It's my new
what is that?
It's my new pal.
Is this a new thing going to be sitting behind you, Alpod? What's his name? This gorilla.
Cletus.
Okay.
Monkey is what we call him in the house. But
I prefer that.
Yeah.
To that to other egg. Thing. Egg, yes.
But, but yeah, so
that's kind of, I mean, it kind of wraps up there.
Like it's, then, you know, they have an inspection again for Matt Smith and these other people, and they're just taking pictures, and like he's patched up all the holes and they're going to paint the place. They both have accepted that this is their house. But the interesting thing was, like, the two shots you see of, like, one is a shot of, like, all the people that died on the boat with the couple.
Yeah.
They're in the one room. And then there's a shot of the couple looking at them in another room.
Yeah.
So it's like, in one way, they have accepted.
They're putting it behind them. Like.
No, but then they're not really putting it behind them, but they're learning how to live with it.
Yeah, right.
But also, they are victims as well, if you get me. Like, because the shot, I think, is like Matt Smith looks at them and it's like the two of them and 20 other people.
Yeah.
So like they're grouped together as one, which is always how I took it. They were lucky enough that they're still alive. But really, they're all placed in this horrible... You know, they were placing this horrible boat together.
Yeah.
And then the other shot was when they looked over and they saw everybody else that they can. Yeah. And like those are the people that like they have to remember and carry with them.
Deal with,
you know, like they're never going to be, they're always going to see them there. But they're not monster form now. You know what I mean? They're accepting also, their guilt. They've worked through it like almost.
Yeah. It's like this is what it is now. Yeah. Well, like, didn't they offer them a new house as well at the end?
No, I don't think so.
Did I imagine that?
I think it was more that it was like, okay, you guys are like, you know.
I was thinking still for sure try and get a new one though.
Well, yeah, but like, it wasn't the house that was haunted. You know, they were the ones that were haunted.
Yeah, but the area is, I mean, surely there's a better area.
Yeah, but if they get made.
That's worse. That was worse than what was inside.
But if they get made citizens, then they could probably fucking look into it, you know. Again, the whole thing of like white privilege is very much like deftly handled here. You know what I mean? Like, because there is a huge amount of white privilege that me and you both have. Like, thankfully, we've come from backgrounds that we've never had to, you know, live together in a detention, share a bed with our partner just in a detention center with another person just there. You know, like the first scene is the two of them on a bed and some other guy is in a fucking room, 8x10 room, like with them, like, you know.
Can't imagine, like, even just...
You know? It's a huge... I was saying it to Faye because, like, she, like, has done stuff for college on direct provision and stuff like that. She's very interested in that topic. And like she's obviously doing like psychotherapy and counseling, and like she kind of said she would love to work at a center that helps people in direct provision that need counseling and stuff like that. Like, it's a fucking shit show of a way, because it's a huge thing over here where it's like you have this room and you live in this room, but you can't do anything else, or like you have to leave the house. From 10 to 8 or whatever, like, you know what I mean? Like that kind of shit. There's loads of shit. And it's like it's happening because, you know, somebody has come from a place where they weren't safe and now they're trying to be safe here, and there's all these systems in place that, like, I don't know, from the outside looking in, do not make a lot of sense and treat people very, very badly.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest, I don't know a huge amount about it myself, but from what I've seen, it just looks like
that's the horror show. That's the horror show. Like that stuff, like, obviously their parts were scary, but like that stuff was more affecting to me in terms of, I was like, "Ugh."
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
and they did it right. They didn't overdo it or anything like that, like, you know. Yeah,
it seemed very authentic.
They weren't the people that worked in it weren't like twirling their mustaches or anything like that. They're just fucking people. You know, it's more the system itself than the actual people that work in it, like, you know.
Well, let me ask you this, Terry. Where would you rank it on your list?
I'm gonna give this one.
Yeah. Terry?
an eight.
Oh, very nice. Okay.
An eight. Oh, maybe higher. I'll go with an eight. It's definitely the best one you picked.
Okay.
Because it was on my shortlist to pick.
There you go.
It was on my shortlist because I'd heard about it.
Did you finagle me in any way?
No, I just saw it on your list and I was like, yes, you picked it. You son of a bitch.
And where would you rank it then in the grand scheme of things?
If I think about it, you have the ratings there, do you?
I have my ratings.
Oh, I think if I remember, what did you give?
I'll write down yours here.
What did you give Thingy?
This one?
No, the Five Bloods. Was it an 8?
I gave it an 8, I think. Yeah,
yeah, okay. Yeah, so I gave Mank 8.5. I gave Mank. Yeah.
Yeah.
Roma 8.25. The Five Bloods 8.
How do you remember this?
8. The longest battle.
Your scores. My mind's blown.
Longest
the
battle.
The Five Bloods. Hold on. The Five Bloods, then what?
This. So this and the Five Bloods are the same.
Okay.
Then the longest battle was a 7.75.
The longest. Oh, the long. The forgotten.
Whatever. Episode. Yeah. Okay. That's how forgotten it was. Then Tall Grass was 6.5. And then
how do you remember? Oh my god!
Tallgrass is 6.5, and then the other one was a 5.
And No One Gets Out.
Yeah, that was a 5.
So that's seven.
We've done this seven. The seventh one, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't remember my scores. So this is fourth out of your seven so far.
Joint third.
I would say this is. I would put this
top of the pops. I'd say for you, is it?
No, I was thinking. I was thinking of putting it top. I would go with the Five Bloods, and I would go with the. I would go with this second.
I think. Do you not have Forgotten Battle as what are your rank ratings for Forgotten?
I had Five Bloods then Forgotten Battle.
Oh, okay.
No.
I just had it in my head that you. That was
you're probably
one.
Right then.
No, you have, mean, you no, got the ratings. Your memory. You got the ratings then, buddy.
I would say, yeah, Five Bloods, His House, Forgotten Battle.
Okay.
They'd be my top three. Tall Grass, Roma, No One Gets Out, Mank. How do you like that?
I don't. Fucking Mank is...
Well, should we get our plugs in, Terry?
Please.
If I can remember how to do this.
It's been a while, hasn't it? Like.
Oh, you should... We should be coming up soon on Uncle Mo's Family Feedback podcast. I think it'll be released soon. I'm not sure when Tyler said he was going to do it, but we were on that podcast a few weeks ago, which was a lot of fun. We'll keep you posted on that. But anyway, if you want to get all the action, all the high-resolution clips of us talking shite on the pod, find it on Instagram at What's So Great About Pod. Yes, I think that's it. And on Twitter, we're at WSGA Pod. And you can find everything we do there.
You basically. Can find Andy at Andy Cantwell on Twitter. You can find me at The Boy Turner. No, because the links are in our bios as well.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. As well. Like,
okay, follow us too.
Because I always retweet and like and all that stuff.
Do you know, you're one of these people on Twitter who I've about maybe three or four that I follow who. I see the media before I see who's liked it, and I know before my eyes look up that half an inch, I know it's going to say the Boy Toner either liked or retweeted this.
Yeah, of course.
I already can tell before I even look up. But I love
a lot of Nicolas Cage and Willem Dafoe content.
Basically, yeah. But yeah, you can find us there. Give us a follow, and that's also our names on Instagram. Hey, give us a follow there too, huh?
Absolutely.
Terry, talk to them about the Patreon, please.
Oh, the Patreon. Well,
that's right, the Patreon.
If you're one of the cool kids that really, you know, they help us out over here on the Patreon by giving us a monthly payment of $5 a month. €450, we don't know what it is in sterling.
Frankly, we don't want to know.
And that payment, good chums, gets you a buttload of content. Mm-hmm. Last month alone, you got, well, you got a Die Hard commentary. You got our Christmas radio show. You got our top five Christmas songs. That was just in December alone. If you're feeling nostalgic for Christmas and you want to cast your mind back a month. Otherwise, we've got all our archived episodes of What's So Great About It, our series on the Marvel Cinematic Universe, our 90s action movies, our Ryan Gosling series, our Big Willy's Flops, a.k.a. the bad movies that Will Smith has made.
Working title.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's a bunch of top five episodes. There's a bunch of bonus content where it's kind of more just a bit of an improv-y jazz set that does be happening over there. There it is, folks. Oh, that's so tight. Is that raw? Is it your head?
I'm going, but I just took my hat off. But yeah. I think I'm getting a little horseshoe rim around here, I think. And when I put my head down, like, it looks like I'm going kind of bald.
Yeah, but also
Joni's been calling me bald man since I couldn't.
And then if you put sad bald man in there,
all right. Well,
your skull looks pink. Like, when did you get a cut?
Last week.
Looks like he was thorough anyway. Was that a raw one?
It was Kerry. Oh. Who did it? And she was thorough, yes.
Yeah. anyway. A bunch of stuff over there for, you know, $5 a month. We very much enjoy doing the Patreon stuff. It is our favorite thing to do, probably.
It is.
Yeah. Well, maybe since we switched over to this.
We love podcasts.
Yeah. And we're planning on doing more commentary. This, and I would like to say, you know what? Actually, I'll save it for when we're doing a Patreon episode.
Okay.
Because you freeloaders here don't deserve what I'm going to say.
Well, I was going to say, since we've made the switch over from Put It in H to What's So Great About Pod, hopefully you've enjoyed listening along anyway. Hopefully you've seen some of the movies that we've talked about. But even if not, we hope to make it good. But it feels like we're doing two Patreon episodes because we usually record one freebie and one Patreon episode in a sesh. And since we've made the switch, for me personally, I don't know about you, Terry, but I come into this podcast and session thinking, yes, two fun ones. Not that Put It in H wasn't fun, but you know what
I mean.
Yeah,
I know.
The shackles are off.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there's a little new app out there, Andy. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's called Spotify.
Yes, I have.
And And what the good folk who listen to us on Spotify can do for me is give me a bloody 5-star review. Now, Spotify are sneaky, though, folks, because I follow our podcast on this, and I said, oh, I'll just give it the old 5-star rating. They make you listen to it before you can rate it. So if you listen to us on your iTunes or whatever, and then you want to jump on Spotify and help the lads out and give us a 5-star review, unfortunately, you're going to have to listen to the episode.
I mean, fortunately, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure, whatever. I normally listen to us on Stitcher, and now I have to listen to us on Spotify if I want to give the rating. But anyway, I want that 5-star review. Next week, I'll have a better bit.
You didn't do the math.
No, there was nothing in this episode, in this movie that I was like, he carried two black bins out the back, but I don't want a 2-star review. I want a 5-star review. You know, there's nothing really there. They get £74 a week. You know, that kind of, you know.
Okay.
Yeah,
no, forget it.
You know, there wasn't a lot of levity in this movie.
I tell you, I'll let you away with it this once for the week that's in it, Terry. But you better bring your A game. You better bring your A game with this math thing.
Unbelievable.
What's the movie next week?
Well, we are doing The Devil All the Time. Now,
Google it.
This is starring a bunch of MCU heads, Andy. It's got Spider-Man himself, Tom Holland. It's got Sebastian Stan. It's got Batman, Robert Pattinson. From what I've heard, it is uneven as heck. 212. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
212.
Something like that, I think.
Okay.
So not too bad.
Okay. That's fine.
So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. This seemed one of the ones where I was like, we're Netflix and we can attract as many Like, there's loads of people.
Whoa, I'm looking here. There's a bunch of people.
Yeah, so like they're like, we're just going to cram as many stars into this movie as we can and see what happens. So I'm excited.
Produced by Jake Gyllenhaal.
There you go. Hey, my man.
Okay. My man.
My man.
Okay, well, yes, join us for that then, folks, because that'll be a doozy.
I'm sure there'll be enough to talk about there. And otherwise, Andy, do you have something you want to tell the nice folks out there?
Folks, I loved you in 2021, and I'll love you even more in 2022.
Been great. Great to be back. Mm-hmm. And we will see you.
And do you have anything to say to the
patrons? Sure, they'll get it when you subscribe. You'll get the big L from me behind the paywall.
What are we like, eh? Well, okay. Well, on that
note, I gotta go lie down.
I'll light the fire. You place the flowers in the vase that you bought today. Staring at the fire for hours and hours while I listen to you play your love songs all night long. Today.